So they, do you think that the people in the community were really patriotic? Fourth of July meant
Oh,
something
yes, it
special.
meant something. It was a special day, and everybody was enthused about it. The little boys were all dressed up in their short pants and suspenders and little round hats. It was really something. And in the evening, sometimes in the evening, they'd ring the church bells, but that was the evening before. On the third is when they would do that. And I know that Mama's sister cried because they would shoot the ambos, the animals, and they didn't do that on her. And then she said, "Well, but you see, they shoot two of them, one's for you and one's for me."
Oh, did they only do this one time?
Yes, just,
Just the
well,
one?
sometimes, I'll tell you when, oh, I do know when the first archbishop came.
Oh, when was this?
You ask me there. They shot him. See, they had to stay all night because they came, you know, they didn't have cars, big cars in those days. And he had to stay all night, and then in the evening they shot two of those things off in honor of the archbishop.
That's sort of a local
Yes,
local
well,
thing.
I don't know whether that's comes from the old country or what. I couldn't tell you that. I don't know.
I don't know either. We've heard about it from time to time, but haven't really been able to
Haven't been able to connect
establish
it with
it
it.
with anything over there. There's quite a few things we have been able to affiliate, you know. Okay, now you were a Catholic,
Yes,
correct?
I was born raised Catholic. My grandparents, great grandparents, and grandparents, and on down, we were raised Catholics.
And you went to the St. Louis school. All right, and then the
Then
public
I went
school.
to public school.
Okay. Were you a member of any of the clubs or societies in church?
No, because see, they didn't have the children to marry when I was here. I was too, would have been too young to go anyway. See, I made my first communion when I was 10 years old, because there was no parochial school at Hondo, and Father Meyer would come twice a month and have mass, and then quick as he was through with mass, he'd go on back because he had to drive back to the Hennies. And so there just wasn't anything at that time.
Well, now it was St. Anne Society.
Oh
Do you
yes,
belong to that?
yes, I belong to that. After I married, I belonged to that, joined that.
How many years have you been a member?
Well, let's say from 39. I didn't join right away. I was too busy. I had too many babies.
Did you ever have an office in one of the
Oh, child! If I wasn't the president, I was a secretary. And that went on and on and on, and then the last time, while they wanted to have me elect me president again, and I said, "Please, I can't. I've got too much work to do." And then I can't remember who the old ladies were. They jumped up and said, "No, we don't want her for president. We want her for that other thing. We can understand her when she reads the minutes." With my booming voice, you know, I'd go out to the plaza and turn around and hit them from the back.
Oh, so all right. So then, being an officer in St. Anne's Society so many times, what kind of role did you play then in the St. Louis Day as it when it became more of a public thing?
Mostly I had charge of the raffle.
You
You know,
still is
selling
that was
tickets. I
still
did
your
that until the last day I could go, could maneuver around to go. But when I couldn't see, couldn't recognize people, it was bad for me to be there because a lot of people thought I was putting on an act, you know, didn't want to know them. It's bad enough when you have to ask people what their name is and then have them say, "Oh, you don't know me anymore, huh?"
What about the Angelus Bell? Can you tell me about that?
Oh, yes, they were so beautiful. Three times a day they rang. They rang at 5 o'clock in the morning, they rang at 12 noon, and they rang at 6 o'clock in the evening, and you could set your watch by them. And then the most beautiful bells in the world were St. Louis bells. Mm-hmm. And we had, of course, I don't know what went on ahead, but then when I was growing up, it was Julius Tunder, Adolf Mangold, and Harry Steinle. And I want you to know that those three boys could make those bells sing. And on Saturday evening, they rang for an hour. That was family rosary time. You know, you're supposed to pray the rosary at home. And it was it was real funny, you know, to keep the drunks from getting hurt on Saturday night.
How did they do that? You
prayed at home.
Oh, I see.
You prayed at home. Oh, yes, Mom would make us kneel around the bed there and pray, and then my brothers would get kind of way back on their heels and say, just point at them. They'd come up again.
And this was every Saturday evening?
Every Saturday evening, yes. And, oh, it was so pretty, and Mom couldn't hardly wait until they'd start the bells. And then they took the bells and electrified them, more modern. And they sound like wash tubs. Do you know that in a wintertime, I could hear the bells just as plain as though they were down in the field below the house, up there, clear day in the wintertime. Oh, they were so pretty. We had an old Mexican out there that he'd come up to the house to listen to the bells.
This was when, during the time you lived on the ranch, yes, uh-huh. Which is about how many miles west of Castroville?
It's supposed to be 5 miles west, but the way we had the entrance, you know, it mm-hmm. was it's 7 miles.
But you could hear the bells that
oh,
far.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
So the purpose then of the Angelus bell was...
The time of prayer.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember Rogation days?
Oh, yes, I remember those. They were praying for rain, and we'd go up to the cross hill and procession. The little altar boys would be first, and then the little girls would come up, and then, you know, the older people. And there's quite a little story of that. You know, Divine was a Protestant town. Mm-hmm. And there was an old man came through here from San Antonio, and he went home and he said, watch for rain. We're going to have a big rain. How do you know? Since when are you the Lord's bookkeeper or something? And he says, the people from Castroville were in a long stream going up the hill praying for rain. In 2 days they had a rain. And he said, now you see what the people of Castroville can do? But, you know, people are more, well, they didn't have as many places to go. And they didn't have the way to get around. But, you know, on Rogation days, people came and it was a regular church day.
How many days did this take place?
3 days each season, you know, like spring, summer, fall, and winter. Of course, in the wintertime, they just went around the church block there.
And they prayed the rosary?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
The rosary was a very big thing among the Catholics. I'll tell you, it was one of their standbys. Well, I imagine, when the children inherited their rosaries from the older people, but lots of people made their own rosaries. There was a kind of a berry, well, it's a tree, and it has long things like mesquite beans, but the berry inside is like an onyx color. And they would drill little holes before it got real ripe and dry them, and then they'd string them. They made their own rosaries.
That's the first time I heard that.
Yeah, they did. Uh-huh. Oh, my grandmother had one for years. They called it it would be St. Joseph bread. Joseph Brod.
That's what they call the tree
that had these beads on there.
The bells then were rung for the Angelus. What about on the eve of holy days?
We had that hour of bell ringing.
Again for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the event of a death, were the bells rung?
Yes, the little bell was rung for babies, you know, the little angel's bell. And then for a grown person, they told usually the number of years the person was old. You know, but it was a bigger bell. It was the big one that was in connection with the angel's bell. It wasn't the bell that called you to Mass. It was a different tone, you know.
Was there a different tone for a man or a woman, or was the difference only between the child and the adult?
Yes, between the child and the adult. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell me about Corpus Christi Day.
Oh, that was one of my favorite days, was Corpus Christi Day. That was when the Polish people would come with their decorated mules and wagons and things. And they had... In the evening before, the men and boys would go out and get branches, and they would put them all around, you know, like a carpet where we went to these different altars. Well, the little girls were dressed in white, and they had their little baskets, not all of them, just, you know, the bigger ones. And two girls carried a big basket full of petals, and then these that would distribute the flowers in front of the Holy Eucharist. Well, then they'd fall to the back and fill their little baskets and get in line again. It was so pretty. They had an altar at, the first one was over at Castro's, this little house behind the church here. It's been renovated, and
where Mike Hodge renovated the house?
Yes,
where
yes.
Fuentes family, yes, I believe, lived for a long time.
Yes.
All right.
Well, that was a Castro home. That man's name was Herrera. It wasn't Castro, but he was the only Mexican here, and so they called him Castro.
Oh, is that right?
And then over at the convent, they always had the Sacred Heart. It was so pretty. See, they had the upstairs, and they could hang drapes down there, and these drapes were covered with blossoms, or, you know, mostly artificial flowers, you know. But... then they had this big statue of the Sacred Heart on there, and then the gates were open, and the altar boys and the priests walked in, and the choir was on the outside, and all the people were kneeling out in the street for benediction. Then we went to the Youngman house, where Grandma Youngman lives now.
You're speaking of Rosalie Youngman?
Yeah,
all right.
They had one there. Had an altar there. Then we'd go down to St. Louis Hall, and they had one there. Then we'd come around there. Sometimes Fitzsimons would have theirs, but sometimes they didn't. They didn't have it every year. And then we'd go around, and Zerhers. I can't remember what that man's name was, but his wife was Johanna Conrad. She was an aunt to Tina Reen.
Mm-hmm.
Tina Schrader.
Is this Sharers or Zerchers? What are you saying? How the last name I didn't quite understand.
Zerher. But they call it Zercher now.
Yes, uh-huh.
And okay. See, she had a hat shop for years and years. She was a great big fat woman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she was immense. And he was such a skinny little boy. Looked so funny when they'd come to church together.
Where was this house at, her hat shop?
The hat shop is where the clinic is now.
Okay.
But they lived across the street where the drugstore is, in a rock house, a beautiful rock house.
I remember it.
Well, that's where they lived. That was their home. But the hat shop was over where the clinic is.
Uh-huh.
And they had one there. And then, of course, we went back to the church. And then there was benediction in general for all of them. But, oh, it was so pretty. It was such a... People came from everywhere to come to...
Well, did the...
to Corpus Christi.
Did the bishop ever come from
Corpus Christi? Oh, yes. Lots of times they've been there. And, you know, the St. Louis Society carried the canopy. Four men would carry it, one on each corner. And then, of course, they'd set them down, and then four others would go up there, and they'd carry it to the next station.
Was this an honor to carry this canopy?
Oh, yes, it was. Oh, boy.
Well, was there any special ceremony when the bishop came into town? Can you describe that to
me? Yes. Everybody came. And one time, you know, Casterville had a band. It was a real, real nice band. Casterville's always been known for musical entertainment here, singing and dancing and all of that. And they would go out to Tunder's home, you know, where the Lacoste Road comes into the Highway 90.
Yes. To go down. Yes.
Well, there's where the boys on horseback would go, and the band would be there. Of course, the band would march back, but the boys on horseback would, and the bishop would come, and he was all smiles, and everybody, the little girls were there. We had to be honor guards, I guess is what you'd call them, for the Children of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
See, they had grown girls in the Children of Mary, and we little ones were the honor guards, and we were all dressed in white, and we were marching, and I'll never forget Faustine's mother
Faustine Sharp?
Uh-huh. Her mother was the carrier of the banner for their organization. And the Onifrine was in there, all in their Sunday best, Bib and Tucker, they were really all fixed up. And it was really a big occasion, when the bishop came. Now, he comes in his big limousine, he hops out and walks into the church. If you're in there, you get your blessing. If you're not in there, well, it's just a little hard. Look.
So they actually met him out there where the
Lacoste Road turns off.
And then the whole procession
came back. Mm-hmm. And we stopped on the bridge, you know, the girls, Sodality, stopped on the bridge, and then, of course, the rest of them were behind us there. And then as they went on, while we just fell in line. Oh, we were trained. We were regular little soldiers.
And was this the time when the Polish people came with their wagons?
They would come that, and they were always there for the Corpus Christi, Feast of Corpus Christi. They were always there for that. And then they came one day, but it wasn't necessarily Sunday, and I never did find out what day it was, but they would come in their wagons, and it wouldn't be anything for the town, it was just these people. And I think it must have been Our Lady of Częstochowa. You know, she was a patron, she's the patron of Poland. And I think that was her feast day. And then the priest would have a mass for them, and they'd all go to communion.
Do you know where these people lived?
No, I don't. I have no idea. Well, I had to find out from Netta this morning what their name was. I thought, well, it was two of them. Either it was Polish or it was Bohemian.
Uh-huh.
And still the Polish sounded the best to me. And then when she says, oh, das in Polaka.
Oh, these are Polish.
Yeah, they're Polish people. See, they had a village up there. They had a sawmill. They had a grist mill, and they made furniture. So I don't know whatever happened to them. The Indians were so bad up in that country. They were really bad up there. There was a massacre every so often, and I guess they just decided to leave. Now, whether they were among the first ones that stopped at, where is that? The Black Madonna's church? It's close to Round Rock, somewhere in there. And I don't know whether they were there already and these people just went there, or if they went there about the same time. I wouldn't know. But, you know, one time, a long time ago, Father Lenson loaned me a book about the history of the church. And, of course, I just would glance at it and read a little bit and then go do something else and come back and read a little bit more. And he said, in that book, you know, it said all about the little chapels that were stuck around in this part of the country. And I'm sure that they were among them, because they came over here all the time to the big ceremonies, the big times.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real funny. They had their little babies to be baptized. But the bishop baptized them.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am. They'd march up there and hold their babies, and the bishop would baptize them.
Well, was Vespers and Benediction then was a traditional thing on Sundays?
That was on Sunday. That was every Sunday at 2 o'clock there was Benediction.
So your, really, Sunday was mostly devoted to church.
It was. It was church day. It was a church day. And then after Vespers, you'd see the little farmers take off and go home, feed their chickens, milk the cows.
What about your solemn communion? Will you tell me about your solemn communion?
Oh, yes. That was a whole year of religion. Religious education. And of course you get away from those things, but if they'd come to a vote about what books they should have, I would vote for the old-fashioned catechism that we had. The yellow book. I learned more out of that than I did with all the going to church and going to religious instruction and all of that, because each question had an answer, and then it gave you a choice. You know, you could either do it this way or you could do it the other way. And that, I thought, was so much better. You know, I had an awful time with my little granddaughter. See, she stayed with me mostly before she went to school, after her mother went to work. And she came home one day and she said, "Oh, Grandma, there are three Jesuses, a black one and a yellow one and a white one." I said, "No, baby, they're not." It meant that the Jesus was for all people. Mm-hmm. She said, "No, I can show you his picture's in my book." And she ran and got her book, and sure enough, there was a Jesus there, and he was one black and one yellow and one white. And it took me forever to get that through her head. And I said, "Where the three come in, it's the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Well, I never heard of them before. So it just shows you that they can't grasp it just going once a week.
So you went every day to religious instructions. Who was the teacher?
The nuns were, and Father came over twice a week, and he reviewed the lessons that the teachers had given us. His was a review of what we had learned.
All right. Then
then the week before communion, that was a week that was prayer, visits to the Cross Hill, and things like those. And there were 3 days of silence. It was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday that we weren't to talk to anyone, just meditate on Holy Communion. Of course, we were older than the children are now, but I think it stayed with us a little bit longer too. And I can't understand the way they tried to explain things to children. They were explained in a much different way, of course not as modern as now, but nevertheless, there's such a difference. We had our little communion dresses made, and oh, that was the day. And we all congregated at school. You know, we were all dressed up with our little veils and wreaths, and then we had candlesticks, and our candle was put in there, and then we carried that to church. We took it up to the altar at offertory. At communion, we had to leave them in the bench, you know, where we were sitting. We were all in the aisle, had our chairs in there, and then the people that were next to us there, if it wasn't a relative, why, whoever was there, they'd see that our candle would be lighted when it was time to go. And it was really something.
Very solemn. Describe your dress.
It was silk mull. Do you know what that would be?
I have an idea.
kind of a soft.
A sheer?
Uh-huh, yes. And of course they had long sleeves, and they had to have the collars on them. There was no low neck or short sleeve or anything like that. And it had, my granddaughter came this morning to bring them some of my groceries, and she had on a dress made like that. Of course, hers is a sundress, but the skirt has three tiers, and that was the way mine was. And then we had the white shoes and stockings, and of course I had curly hair. I wore my hair in curls, so there wasn't anything there. Some mothers at the last minute tried to get plaits real tight, you know, and it was buzzed up. It looked so silly.
What about, did you fast?
Oh, yes. We weren't allowed to have a drink of water from midnight on or eat anything at all. We had to fast before we went to communion. And even during school on First Friday, we couldn't eat or drink anything, and then we could go home and eat breakfast or either bring something along and eat it at school before we went to the school building.
What happened if you forgot and drank water or ate?
We didn't get to go to communion. We didn't get to. I know Lizzie Weiss was in my class, and they were there in their little Sunday house, and she had this little baby, I don't know who it belonged to, on her arm, and somebody said, "Oh, give her a drink of water," and she gave the baby a drink of water and drank a swallow of water, and that poor girl cried and cried and cried. Then somebody went down, told the priest, and said she didn't do it intentionally, it was just an accident. He says, "Well, that's all right, she can go to communion in the morning."
Bless her heart. All right, after the ceremony was over in church, was there a celebration at home?
At home, yes. First Communion Day was a very honored day in the home. Your godparents were there, and your aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, and well, there was such a big crowd of First Communicants, they had to divide them around.
How many were there in your class?
60 children. And the year before, when my sister made her communion, there were 62.
That is a large class.
They came from Rio Medina and way up around Yellow Banks and just as far as you could shoot a gun. They'd come over here just to go to instruction. But they had to be here a year to go to instruction, to go to parochial school.
Well, did they live here for that year, or
no,
what was the...
They stayed here. You know, different people would take the children in. They all had... They were all interrelated.
So the relative would keep the child.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
was the traditional age?
14 for the boys and 12 for the girls.
And was it called First Communion or Solemn Communion?
First Solemn Communion. It was just one thing.
There was not two ceremonies,
nope.
In other words.
Mm-mm. It was First Solemn Communion. Then the next celebration was Confirmation.
Tell me about Confirmation.
Well, that was a wonderful day too. You see, then it would be two classes. See, 62 and 60 would be quite a bunch of them. And then there were so many grown people that, time went by and they moved on these farms and ranches and they didn't get to go. So then they would have a month instruction for those. And then they'd come in and go to be confirmed. It was always a big crowd. The church was always crowded to the steeple. People come.
Was there any special ceremony on that day for the bishop's arrival, or was this
It was the same ceremony of his arrival as it was for any other celebration where he came.
So this was traditional. Anytime the bishop came.
The bishop came, everybody came.
You had the banners, the bands, and the flower mm-hmm. girls and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very honored man.
Yes, he was. He knew he was a bishop.
And so did everyone else.
Yes, they did.
Did you get any gifts for your solemn communion?
Oh, yes. See, the godparents traditionally gave the child the prayer book and the rosary. One would give the prayer book and one the rosary. The girls usually got the prayer book from the godmother, and the boys got the rosary from their godfather. That's the way that worked.
How did you choose a saint's name when you went for your confirmation? Was there any special significance to that for you?
Yes. mine was Catherine. Saint Catherine of Siena was my patron for confirmation. And my grandmother would always talk about, let's see, how did they say Siena? Sana.
Mm-hmm.
Sana. And so that name stuck with me. And then some of them took the name of the nuns or, you know, just their teachers.
Some favorite person.
Some favorite person.
Okay, how about Christmas? I'm sure Christmas was always a special time. Tell me the preparation that your family went into for Christmas.
Well, we had the traditional Christmas tree, and we sang the traditional hymns at Christmas, you know, like Come All You Faithful and all of that. Mm-hmm. All those we sang. And Then there was always a nice dinner. It wasn't always turkey. Sometimes it was goose or something like that. My grandmother raised geese up there on the river, and sometimes we'd have a nice roast goose or something like that for Christmas. But it wasn't the traditional turkey until I was quite, I guess I must have been about 15 years old when they started having turkeys for Christmas. We had turkey at Thanksgiving, but my daddy would go out and shoot one. You know, they were still wild, you know, in those days.
So was this served on Christmas Day?
Christmas Day.
Big dinner?
Uh-huh.
Christmas family Day. Dinner?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Christmas Eve, that was when the Christmas tree was decorated, and we'd go in and see our presents, and then the big ones would go to midnight mass, but we little ones didn't get to go.